Royston, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. So, Royston, you were the first guest of the first season, so welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Bye. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, how's life?
Life is good, man. Life is good. I mean, today, I say life is good. Today's a good day. Go day by day for the 2 to 2025, you know what I mean? But yeah, today's a good day. How are you?
I'm good, man. I was thinking about whenever I have guests on, I always try to remember when I first met the person, and I realized I think I met you about 10 years ago at a gig that I think JQ was throwing for his artist. I've forgotten her name. And then obviously you were throwing the events, your hotel. But yeah, I thought to have you on because you've got a very amazing story as far as being a creative and artist yourself. So for those who don't know, who is Royston and where does his journey begin?
Wow, that's a triggered question. Loaded. Royston is a creative and entrepreneur, a cultural connector. Some may know me as a dancer, a choreographer. Some may know me as a singer. Some may know me as an agent. Some may know me as a, I don't know, I guess a party promoter. But they all are me, and I am. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell. I like to call myself a cultural connector.
Okay. And then which of those things would you say came first?
It's a bit, it's like saying, did the, when they say the chicken I was just that kid, a young kid at a young age that just loved to sing and dance. And I would say the singing and dancing were just one, you know what I mean? They came hand in hand. Growing up watching the likes of, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, MC Hammer, that was all I did. I was that annoying kid in front of the TV that just did the annoying singing and dancing.
Okay, I see. And so, did you know at that point that you wanted to pursue it as a profession? At which point did it go from you being the annoying kid to being someone who we're now seeing on television?
You know what? So when I was like about, I think I was about 9, 10, 11, I used to go to Forest Gate Youth Centre, and there was a dance crew in there, run by Cat, the comedian, and from MTV. And we that was kind of like my first, I guess, outside of like being in school, things where I felt like, oh wow, this is actually a world outside of, what you see on TV. During that time, I ended up actually joining a group. So I was in a boy group called Advance. And that, again, that was all the kind of the beginnings of being kind of like a local, I guess, like a local celebrity, you could say. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's the boy that's in the group, or that's the guy that dances. And that was my first, I guess, step into the industry.
All right, so Advance was the group signed? Were you independent? What was the situation?
Yeah, so we were independent. We were an independent group where, we were, like I said, the local kind of celebrities. We performed at every, town hall, every club, every event. And we were kids, singing covers majority, like Boyz II Men, As Yet, 112. And then while I was in the group, I got the opportunity to, or I actually auditioned for a show called Rapology. Rapology was Choice FM's X Factor. And anyone that don't know, yeah, it was basically like, the what capital extra, one extra now. And yeah, so I won the first ever Rapology as a solo artist. I sang Nice and Slow by Usher, and Rob, when he says, they call me USHER, I was like, they call me ROYSTON, Royston. And it became like, literally, it became like a thing. And with that, I actually got a recording. I got studio time and a small single deal with Sony, and I put out a song called Why.
Hey.
And that was while I was actually in the group.
Oh, I see. So you're in the group while this is happening.
Yeah, so
Okay.
kind of like while I was in the group, I kind of did this show because it was, to be honest with you, I wasn't doing it as a solo artist. It was never the thing. I actually auditioned with a girl. Yeah, India. Is it, yeah, it is India. Is it India? Oh my God, she's gonna kill me if she ever hears this and I don't remember that. But yeah, so I actually auditioned with a girlfriend of mine, and they asked me at the audition to sing solo, sing by myself. And I did. And then, went on to winning a competition. And at the time, I remember some members of Damage, some members of Another Level, and Celicia were the judges.
Okay.
And like I said, I won that competition, and little down the line, I got a phone call from Russ from Damage.
Yeah.
And they asked to manage me.
This is interesting. So this would have been what, like 97, 98?
Oh, I probably, I,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
okay.
And then at the time, so Damage ended up being my managers, and I
Wow.
recorded the first body of work with Damage.
That's a big look. You know what?
Yeah,
Damage
it was.
doesn't get as much love as they deserve, you know?
I mean, Damage are one of the best.
Yeah.
My opinion, the best, boy band, man band to come out of the UK, especially on from an R&B perspective. And I was a huge fan of Damage. I mean, I literally had posters of, Damage and Celicia and Truce and Jodeci and TLC on my wall. You know what I mean? So I remember getting that phone call from Russ. I was just like, oh my God, like, Russ is on my phone. This is crazy.
Wow. That's all right. Interesting. All right. So you signed to Damage, right? And they're managing you.
Yep.
And then Sony has the single deal, right? And so was Damage signed to Sony?
No, Damage were actually signed to Big Life. And to be fair, the Sony contract did, I actually did nothing with it.
Okay, I see.
It literally was like studio time.
Okay.
Courtesy of Sony, and they were going to put the record out, but I had to actually attack to get that record even recorded. It was like, when am I going to do this track? When am I going to do this track? And the song came out, it was called Why, and it was, was rinsed on Choice FM. It was just like, it was so, everything was so fast and so like, it was such a weird world at that time. I just actually didn't know what I was doing. I never had anyone like my family or never came from the music industry. So it was all just like fast paced. And at this time, I was in regular school. When I was just about to start my GCSEs, I applied for Sylvia Young.
It's okay. Wait, it's interesting. Wait, so you're still in school, right? And you're winning this competition and you're in it. So how does a what 14, 15-year-old kid manage that?
I don't know till this day.
Okay,
Do you
okay,
know what I
okay.
mean? It was just like, I was just a go-getter, I
Yeah.
guess. And it's funny because even the timeline, even when I think about it, I'm like, does it all add up? Because so much happened in that space of time. I auditioned for Sylvia Young. I got a full scholarship into Sylvia Young. At first, I got a half scholarship. And then my mom was like, we can't afford this. So I ended up getting a full scholarship. I joined the school with, it was me and Amy Winehouse, went in the same class at the same time. I was just in this new school, which in my head, I was like, oh my God, I'm joining Fame.
Okay, I
You know
see.
what I mean? I was like, I'm Leroy. You know what I mean? And while I was in that school, that's where I started working. So Sylvia Young had an agency. And during the agency, I started getting on jobs. I was doing Pringles commercials. I was in EastEnders. I was in, just all these different young kid acting roles. And it's crazy because, like I said, I had won this competition. I had this song on the radio. I'm now in this, like, renowned school. And I'm also like on TV.
Okay, wow.
And it was just, it just was at the time, I guess, like the norm. And it's funny because, like, maybe a year or two later, that's where I met a few other dancers outside of school, where I became part of the Shifters. And the Shifters was like a dance boy group that I was in. And we would dance around the place and we dance at clubs. And then Priscilla Samuels, who is the choreographer, the founding choreographer for Spice Girls, choreographer for Tina Turner, Whitney Houston. I remember this lady. She used to dance for Peter Andre. And anytime you watch Top of the Pops, there was this two black ladies, a lady called Priscilla and a lady called Paula. Priscilla found us, the Shifters, and literally was our lead into the professional world, where I then started dancing as a career.
This is amazing. So hearing this, right, it makes so much sense as to why everyone trusts you with what they're doing, right? Because you have the expertise and also the history behind pop music. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, I've you know, T it's so weird now because obviously TV is so different. But when I was in the prime of my dance career, I just saw a clip, a video that I was in. It was 20 years ago, and I'm just like, wow. And when I was in the prime of my dance career, we had so much outlets to do performances. You
Yeah, of
had
course.
Fox, the UK, SMTV, Pepsi Chart. What else? There was tours. We would school tours and Smash Hits poll winners parties. There was so much that it was just like Monday to Wednesday, I was in rehearsals, and then Thursday to Sunday, I was gigging.
Crazy.
You
Okay.
know, and that was, I guess, my career for somewhat of a lengthy time. Whereas a lot of people know me and say, "Oh, that's Royston the dancer."
But it goes much further back.
Say that again, sorry.
I'm saying it goes much further back. It goes back much further.
Yeah, like singing, in all honesty, is my first passion. I love to sing. I feel so comfortable when I sing, but then at the same time, I love to perform. So the dancing comes hand in hand. Now, if someone did say to me, "Would you rather be a singer or a dancer?" Oh, I probably would say a singer because I get to dance.
Anyway, fair enough. Interesting.
You know what I mean?
So
Whereas,
dancing, you're kind of eliminating the musical element because you're just dancing for the other performer. Where singing, you're dancing anyway.
exactly. But then it's funny because my career, I guess, in all the years of me pursuing music, managed by Damage or managed by Massive Creation, which was Priscilla, or even when I was managed by Simon Nichols, the dancing was how I was making a living. And I guess because at the age of like coming out of school, I never went to college. Like, I remember when everyone was doing their GCSEs and, being in Silver Young, everyone's like, "Oh, what dance college are you auditioning for?" And I was just like, I'm working.
Because at
Like,
this point, you're already doing what you would have done. You graduated
yeah,
anyway.
exactly. I'm like, I'm already working. So why am I going to college when I'm working, but with that being said, I guess sometimes I do feel like because I focus so much on the dancing and that part of it and making it a career. And obviously, when I was growing up, he's like, "You have to have a job. What's your job?" But this was my job. Obviously, it was different to the regular kid at 16, 17, 18, but this was actually my job and I was making great money from it. But I feel sometimes my music kind of was on the back burner
Because you're so focused on, which
because I
makes,
was so focused and involved in the dance world.
and obviously where that's paying you in the moment, right? It makes sense to focus on that because music is, it's funny. So it's much harder to become a musician than a dancer, if that makes sense. Because
Yeah.
dancing is based on your skill, whereas musician, or at least in the commercial space, there are so many moving parts that are beyond your control. So it does make sense that you focus on what you could control, which is just being a great performer and entertainer, as opposed to the politics of, you know what I'm saying, like pursuing a deal, or like, you know what I'm saying, studio time is sort of work.
Exactly. And I feel like because I was a songwriter, I was never a producer, so getting beats was hard for me. And also getting in a studio, I always felt that was I didn't have the as much as I even till this day, even though I know so many people, I find it very difficult to ask for help. You know, I'll be the first one to help other people, but I really don't help myself as much. You know what I mean? I'll be the first one to support someone's career and put it in the right direction, but I don't do the same for myself.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think that sometimes I don't like people. I know how it feels to feel used. I know how it feels to feel like someone's just reaping off of you, if that makes sense.
Okay, I see.
And I never like to make people feel like that. You know, so if I'm asking something of somebody, I like to make it either worth their while, or at this, or at least, you know, there's some like give and take, if that makes sense.
No, I hear that. And I think that with this industry, unfortunately, there are a lot of users. So it makes sense that you would be mindful about, which is a shame because you give so much to other people. So, you know what I'm saying?
No, I do. And I feel like as I've got older as well, I've tried to get out of my head with that, you know, because it can be quite, you know, depressing at times, you know, when you feel like you're always helping people or supporting people, but some people don't do that for you. And, you know, like obviously, I know people have their lives and people have other things going on, but, you know, you want people to kind of remember you. You know what I
Also,
mean?
I think you're also very modest, yeah, because there are things I know you've worked on that I'll say this to you. There are things I've seen, yeah, and knowing you, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's wasted. You know what I'm saying? There's one thing, I won't say what it is, yeah, but it's one advert, yeah, that I saw, and I thought that's wasting through and through. You know what I'm saying? So I guess it's a when I say a shame, it's I think if you are a giving person, it's tough because you enjoy giving because you're generous. But then what happens is people take advantage of that. And then if you're also modest on top of that, right, then people don't ever realize how much work you've actually done for other people.
Yeah, and I think as well when it's your career, it like especially when obviously when I started, there was no social media, you know? So it wasn't like we had to collect things to post or showcase yourself in a way to get the next gig, you know? So I do feel even now in my career, I'm playing catch up because I'm like, oh God, I've got to post this, or I've got to I make sure I get that footage, or make sure I take pictures, or you know, all that kind of stuff. Because people want to know what you're doing. At the same time, I think when I was in the game, I didn't, because I was fortunate, lucky to be working, and I had a great mentor, like I said, with Priscilla Samuels, that I didn't need to have like pictures and a showreel and a CV per se, because I was working. You know, my name held weight. So
And
it would
also at
be.
that point, what your CV are the music videos, right? The performances. So it makes sense.
But that's what I'm saying. But even then, the performances you'll never see because there was no YouTube.
YouTube. It's
You
crazy.
know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you might see us on a
Yeah.
music video, or you
Wow.
might see us on Top of the Pops ever so often,
Yeah.
but that was like 25% of the amount of performances we would do. You know, you would never know, like, the amount of tours I've done, you'll never see, you know, you'll never, there's no footage of me on tour. I mean, there's a few clips of things I could find, but not now where everything is so documented, you know?
That's interesting because so I saw footage of you dancing with Jamelia, yeah. With obviously it was Beanie Man and Money, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting is my uncle's in that video, my uncle Richard is in the video. So I didn't realize. So were you in the video as well, or were you doing the live performances?
I did it all. So Jamelia was one of the artists that I work super closely with. She's, my sister till this day. And yeah, I was in the music video for Money. I did all the tours. I worked with Jamelia all the way up to, I was also in Superstar.
Oh wow, hey.
I think Superstar, oh, Bout. Yeah, so I think so that was the like the oh actually I was on no I wasn't in the video but I was on set for Beware of the Dog.
Okay, nice. Okay,
Yeah,
so
so
you were there. Okay, it's interesting. So like most of the Jamelia like eras, you there for?
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was with Jamelia a long time. I mean, I went from like her first ever video, I was the leading guy. I became, one of her dancers to then even becoming one of her choreographers.
Crazy. Amazing. And so with the money video, because to me that video is perfect. And I think it was why I like the video so much was of two reasons. Obviously, my uncle was in it. And two, I'd never seen a UK R&B video on that scale before, if that makes sense. Like you
Yeah,
could tell there was
that
budget.
video. Yeah, that video was like before its time, it was
100%.
choreographed by Priscilla Samuels, it was directed by Max and Danya, and it was just like I'm even do you know what's really funny? Even that video, this is how busy we were. I remember doing that video, and the core of us, there was four of us, we had to leave and go and do a show that day with Samantha Mumba at Wembley Arena.
Wait, so you're doing the so you're shooting a video for Jamelia at one point during the
Shooting a music video for Jamelia, and then four of us have to leave, who were like the core, we at the time we were like the boys, we were like the boys, had to go and do a shoot for, sorry, a show with Samantha Mumba. I think it was at Wembley Arena, and Dwayne actually, who's the lead in that video, had to do the show and then
Oh,
go.
so is the lead in that video? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so when it starts at the beginning where you've got, you see Jamil, you see him, he actually had to, after the show, he had to go back to set and do that scene. And that's how crazy our life was. It was just like we were just some young guys, like living our best life. And that video was amazing. It's iconic. It was Jamelia, it was Beanie Man. It was, the Victorian. You never see black people in that kind of get up. It was, it was just, and in that video at the time, like those, the dancers that were in the video were the cream of the crop.
Oh, I see.
Those were like, you had like, for me, iconic dancers, Claire Frith, Jenaba, oh, there was, who else was in the video? Oh my God, Carissa Samuels, like names that I, dancers that I looked up to before I became a dancer. Paulette Minot, like I would be like, oh my God. So when I was in rehearsals, you have to kind of hold it down in your inside because you're like all here doing the job, but I'm
At the same
also like,
time.
yeah, but I'm also like, I'm dancing with the big dogs. Like, do you know what I mean? So it was a dope moment.
What was it about Jamelia? Because obviously at the time I was like 5 or 6 at the time. So with Jamelia, what was it about her? Like what made the industry get behind her the way that it did?
Well, Jamelia actually, she came from that old school of getting a development deal. So her first record deal was a development deal. And obviously, that doesn't even exist anymore. But artists, when they found talent, they knew that they weren't automatically an artist. And I think that's why a lot of artists don't survive today because no one puts in the work with them. I know when, you worked with me alongside Gifty, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to implement was that training. Before you get out into the world, like, do you know what it's going to be? And I think Jamelia just had so much. She was an amazing songwriter, an amazing singer, and she put the work in, So, and I think at the time as well, it's like, you had your Brandys, you had your Monicas. London didn't have anything like that.
That makes no sense now.
You know, and I think like from a, especially then, you know, there wasn't many black artists, as we just mentioned with Damage, and you know, you had people like Jamelia, Kelly LaRock, Shola Amma. You know, then we go on to like have groups like Eternal and the Honeys, you know. And even with the boy groups, you know, you had like Ultimate Chaos, but then you kind of got into that thing of there was, it was always like a boy group with one black guy.
Oh yes.
No?
Who
You
mind
know?
you? Yeah, who rapped?
Yeah, who rap? You
They're
know what I
like,
mean? Or they flipped, I mean, like Another Level kind of flipped it. Remember, it was kind of like, well, they, I don't think all Another Level were white, but they were predominantly white looking with a one black guy again, I guess. You know what I mean? But you know, Bobak is my boy. He's a man of color all the way. But you know, yeah, it was just an era that I think music was in a different place. America was such a huge influence when it came to R&B over here. So I feel like Jamelia was just that, like, oh, we have our own, you know?
That makes no sense. You know, so what's interesting is, obviously my uncle passed away, I think about 7 or 8 years ago now, and I remember him saying, "Oh, do you know?" I was telling him I used to go to your events at the W, and he was, "Oh, you know, recent," but I didn't realize. The funny thing is, I didn't know you in the video, but I'd seen you, but didn't know it was you. If that makes sense, right?
Right.
So he was saying, obviously he was singing your praises, right? And I've always wondered. So in that video, so we're breaking down is that you had the best of the best in the UK in that video, right? And so was Priscilla behind the casting? Was she behind getting everyone in place to appear in it? How did that work?
Yeah, exactly that. Priscilla was, she casted it 100%. You know, not only was she, I mean, she kind of semi-directed the video as well, in all fairness. But I feel like choreographers do that. You know, when choreographers are on jobs, they are behind that camera. Obviously, the director is directing, but we are creatively directing, you know. Yeah, and so Priscilla, she casted it, she choreographed it, and then that was all her execution. And like I said, I think it's funny because with even with Money, I think at one point we had seven different routines to Money. Like it just kept on, like, you know, oh, we had the video, we had the show, we had the tour version, we had the version where we only had six of us. There was a version where you know what I mean? It's the small stage version, the big stage version. And it just got to the point where it was like, why do we know so many routines to this one song? But that's how long we were dancing to it.
And who was Jamelia assigned to at the time?
Parlophone?
I see.
Parlophone.
And then you worked
Parlophone.
with her all throughout. So to this day, but I know you mentioned you did Money, you did Umbrella Dog, right? And so how did your work with her change as time went on?
You know, we honestly became family. I remember, so we used to have to, you know, there was a pickup point and it was at Jamelia's house. She used to live with her cousin because Jamelia's originally from Birmingham.
From here.
We used to meet at her where she used to stay, her family's house in Shepherd's Bush. And every time in the morning, she would make us cornmeal porridge. And it would be like, we would have to, like, let's say the pickup time was 8, we'll get there at like 7 because we knew we wanted that cornmeal porridge. And you know what I mean? And you just can't, like, that's the type of relationship we had. You know, there's not artists that you go to their house and they're gonna make you breakfast. You know, and I would say I've been super fortunate to the artists that I've worked with in my career have, like, a lot of them have become close friends where I'm close with them, their family, and we've become family, you know. It never feels like I'm going to work very often or working with a stranger. And that goes from Jamelia to Aston Marigold to, you know, Stefflon Don to Ray Black, like so many artists that I've had the privilege to work for in the UK and internationally. You know, working alongside Estelle for many years, you know, and working alongside with Estelle and Kanye and John Legend, like, you know, it's all memories that I hold dear to my heart.
100%. Now, you mentioned that on set sometimes the choreographer can sometimes turn into not the, well, the director or does director some right some points, right? So how do you as a creative director manage that relationship with the director, right? In a sense where you have your ideas, they have their ideas, and how do you manage it so you're not clashing?
I think that's just about the collaboration, you know. Obviously, at the end of the day, the director is in charge, and I'm in charge of the choreography. You know, when it comes to the direction of it, we just have conversations before we even get there. You know, I'll have a conversation with the artist. I'll have a conversation with the stylist. You know, like what are we going for? What's the vibe? And when we get on set, I just take direction from the director. You know what I mean? And I'm humbled with that because at the end of the day, they are the director, you know? And yeah, I think that's all it is really. It's just really making sure you're working as a team. I believe at the end goal is to have an amazing product, right? Whether it's a movie, a film, sorry, that's the same things, whether it's a TV film, music video, even a photo shoot, you know, the aim at the end is to have a great product. So I think anytime it doesn't work out, it usually is because of ego, you know, and for me, I just feel like everyone should just leave their ego at the door because at the end of the day, we're all here for the same thing. And that's for the product, the person, the artist, the movie, whatever, to win.
100%. You mentioned Estelle, right? And so, how did you meet Estelle? What was the journey like with her? Because, listen, this is the thing. I know what you, I know what you did here, but for the audience, because.
Yeah, no. Me and Estelle, I actually met Estelle through mutual friends and before she had 1980 out. And I became one of her background singers. So I became her background singer with her sister, Hadara. And we would just be, you know, Estelle was just that multifaceted talent that was just, you know, UK's kind of first female rapper that was, you know, not first because we had some before, but in that era
Understand.
at that time that was just doing her bits, you know. But it was really cool because, you know, she sang, she rapped, and then obviously we had like, there was always two background singers and we were kind of like moving and shaking and doing our thing. And then with Estelle, you know, like as she got signed, I was her background singer from a while. Then I started not only singing in the show, she asked me to do BVs on on her actual music. On her first album, The 18th Day, I have a feature. So it's Estelle featuring Royston. It's called Over Again. That was choreographed, produced by Colin Emmanuel, C Swing. And then yeah, so that transition with Estelle was how I actually moved to America. So Estelle got signed to John Legend's label. At that time, you know, we'd always go back and forth to the States to record. And I remember I got a call on like a Tuesday, and she was just like, "Yo, I need you to come to New York." And I was like, "Okay, cool. When? What are you thinking?" She's like end of the week. I'm like, okay, say nothing. Because obviously, this is what we do. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm going to do a session. And then she's like, yeah, but I need you to move here. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, we're putting together the band. We're putting together the whole show. And I want you to be here. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to audition everyone with me. I want you to choreograph everything. I want you to be involved in the whole creative and XYZ. And I was like, whoa, 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 what? When am I supposed to leave? And she's like I said, the end of the week. And I was just like, what? So that what I thought would be like a couple month, maybe a couple months, a couple years.
How many years are we talking?
I lived in America for nearly 7 to 8 years. Yeah.
New York.
In New York, yeah. And that completely, like I said, like that when the first kind of 6 months, we were just like studio rehearsing, this was before American Boy, because we had the first single that she had was Just a Touch,
Of course, yeah.
produced by will.i.am.
Wow.
And then yeah, we did the video for Just a Touch. I remember we done that. I think we shot it in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then later down the line, American Boy. And I remember shooting that video for American Boy. I'm in that too.
Yeah.
Kanye's on set, John Legend's on set, and we're just like, wow, like we're doing it. And then that hit, it became the hit that it is.
So at this
And obviously,
point, are you realizing the impact you're playing in developing artists, working with artists who are working very well on like on a global level? Because it's one thing, let's say, working with someone who's, let's say, big in their own territory, right? But with you, they seek you out before they blow up, and your work helps to take them to the next level. So at that point, are you aware of your value?
you know what? It's funny because no, I wasn't, to answer the
Okay.
question. I
Yeah.
wasn't, completely wasn't. But what was interesting, when I moved to America, I kind of left my career. And that was what was crazy, because I was like, oh my God, I'm not gonna dance. I'm not a dancer anymore, kind of. I didn't go to America to be a dancer.
Yeah.
I didn't go to work with anybody else. I was going to solely work for Estelle and be her backbone and her support. At one point, people even like looked at us like we were a group. That's
Oh, yeah, I see.
how much I was involved and seen. And what I created was like these people. I created dancing BVs, background singers.
Okay.
Because I was obviously a performer, like I said, when I sang with her, I was full out dancing.
Right.
And every background singer that we hired, I choreographed them to do the same thing.
See.
And in the moment of it was always kind of like, obviously I had been on her first album. I had recorded for the second album.
Yeah.
And in my heart, I always thought, okay, I've done the dance thing. This is my time to like do music.
Yeah.
I'm in this music bubble, I'm in the studio, I'm with Estelle, but it's just like, it just again became another process of how do I get in the studio? I'm in America, who am I going to work with? I don't, even I'm working with all these amazing producers, can I ask them to work with me? I never had that kind of go-getter artistry bone in me, if that makes sense. I was more like, I knew I was an artist, and I acted accordingly like an artist, but I never wanted to bother anybody unless it actually came to me.
But also, is it that because you knew you were there to support Estelle, right? Will you be mindful about not stepping on any toes?
100%,
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
And we always, at one point, I always got told in that camp, like, oh, your time's coming soon. Your time's coming soon. We're going to help you do this. We're going to help you do that. And I unfortunately never got that help.
Yeah.
So when I actually moved back to the UK, when I stopped working with Estelle, so I stopped working with Estelle, and then I was in America for maybe like a year, like not working with Estelle. And in that year was kind of like, okay, what am I doing now? Because I had found New York to be like my home. I had really found solace there. I kind of started walking in my truth and feeling my vibe. And okay, I know who I am now, outside of like Royston the dancer or Royston the this or Royston that. Because when I went to New York, no one knew me. You know what I mean? They didn't, I mean, no one knew me until they started seeing the success with Estelle. But privy to that, they were just like, oh, this is my friend, Royston.
I see.
They didn't really know the history of what I did in the UK, because again, UK artists doesn't transpire to the US.
Rarely happens.
So it was Estelle that people were like, oh, that's what he does. He's a dancer for Estelle, the new girl from, okay, got it, boom. So when I moved back, I was kind of really scared, if I'm honest, of like, what am I going to do now? Everyone knows me to be with Estelle. I ain't. it's kind of like, you know, like you feel like you're coming back with your tail between your legs, like I kind of failed in somewhat way.
Why?
I guess because obviously I'd come from this big wave of the Estelle train, and now I'm no longer with her.
Okay, and because maybe people thought that was your biggest thing, right?
Yes, like, well,
Okay, I
what's he
see.
doing? What's he doing now? You know what I mean? Because he hasn't danced. Like, I couldn't. I in my head, I was like, do I just go back and jump into the dancing pool? But at the same time, I'm like, do I even like? I'm older. I'm not that young dancer anymore. Like, times have changed. Like, I'm not really. I'd surpassed like the audition process.
Okay, I see.
Was I going back to that? But at the same time, it was also very humbling in the sense of I've been like, people see me on every award show.
Yeah.
You know, they see me like singing next to Kanye West. You know what I mean? Next to all these amazing people, that it's like I just felt like a bit, oh, like I failed in somewhat way because I was coming back to London without anything.
Okay, I see.
But then what happened was, it was the absolute opposite. People was like, rah, Royston's back in London. He's been
Okay.
working with all these people. We need to work with him. Because they're like, he works with this one and this one, and he's got connects with this one and that. So that's really where my choreography really started to take its place. You know, they were
Okay.
like, he's choreographed for this and he's choreographed for that, and he did that music video and this music video. So it just kind of like, I was like, okay, so I'm not singing as much, even though I want to, but now I'm being asked to choreograph for people.
And so, who was the first act that you worked with when you returned to London?
Oh, I actually can't remember,
Okay.
but I do know. I don't know why. What rings in my head is like Misha B.
Oh, cool. We
So
should. We
when
used to
Misha,
cover Misha B quite a lot on Grape Juice, and we did
yeah, when Misha B,
a.
I did all of Misha B's project.
Clearly.
Another project that holds dear to my heart is MNEK's.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Choreographed all, like choreographed everything that MNEK's ever put out. Who else? I'm trying to think of at that time. Oh God, I think I'd still. I went back to Jamelia.
Yeah.
Some more with Jamelia, Ray Black, Stefflon Don.
Okay.
You know, but again, I'm the worst for the timeline.
Yeah.
I could be saying names, and it's like, well, that was like 10 years later. That was 4 years before. Do you know what I mean? But I just knew I came back, and it was great. You know, like, working back in the music and being back in London, you know, and also seeing how it changed.
Okay.
Because even though I was in America, we were in London a lot, you know, obviously whilst doing Estelle, because obviously we were touring, and the music took us all over the world, you know, from Europe to Australia to Asia and America. Like I think I've been to near enough every state in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I've done that real tour bus life. You know, you think when you've toured UK, you're like, oh, I've toured UK. Touring the US is completely
No, I can imagine.
different.
But even when you're like flying, like in the US, yeah, it's in the same country, but one state is like 5 hours from the other one. Where the UK, I think, is quite small. I think, honestly, the UK, maybe the furthest you'd travel is like 4 or 5 hours, maybe going up north from London. Yeah.
That's on a train, like, you know what I
On
mean?
the train, exactly. But the US is, yeah, it's massive.
Yeah, but like, I remember driving through, you know, places in America where we were on the tour bus and the traffic was standstill. We would get off the tour bus and dance in the middle of the highway. And, you know, it was just like, you know, it was like living a dream. You know, you watch these movies and you think, wow, like, I never thought I would do this, you know? But yeah, it's been a journey.
And so you were there before American Boy, right? When was the first time you heard the track? And when you heard, what did you think?
First time I heard it was, I think Estelle played it to me, house, and I was just like, rah, this is a bop. And it was so different to what she had ever did. Like one thing about Estelle, her melodies and are just phenomenal. Her pen game as well is just amazing. But she can ride any beat, and I think people, because people knew her as a rapper, you know, it was like, you know, take me on a trip, I want to go someday, and it's just like, rah, she's singing. Did you know what I mean? And the whole, you know, she only she doesn't rap in that song, and you know, it's one of them things where a lot of people, I think she woke up a lot of people to be like, oh, she's not just what you thought she was, you know. And you know, her fashion, like even with the fashion, we really, that was one thing we loved to do, was like really put on a show. And even if we didn't have all the bells and whistles, we'd make sure we put on looks, you know what I mean? We made sure we gave you a fierce outfit that was just like, yeah, like we're sharp, you know.
And so, so she signed it. So she signed in the UK, right? Or she signed in the US.
She was signed in the US to Homeschool Records, which was John Legend's label, which was through Columbia.
Okay, and so when she'd be, okay, interesting. Ah, so it was a US deal, but because she was from the UK, obviously there's no marketing going on over here.
Well, Estelle was never, Estelle left her, she was signed to V2,
Okay.
which was Virgin 2
Yeah.
in the UK. And then she actually left that label and was only style, she was signed in America.
Wow.
So she actually didn't have a record deal in the UK. She was treated, she had a record deal in America, but obviously when traveled around the world,
Yeah.
those territories picked her up, like picked her up
But
basically.
of course, she's from the UK. Wow. Okay. And so, okay, so you're working with Estelle, you come back to London, right? You're working with Misha B, JLA. All right, so were you working on the X Factor at some point?
Yes.
Okay, and
So I
so,
did the
okay.
X Factor for
Which
many
is.
years. I was the background singer.
Oh.
Yeah, so I used to go to there every Saturday and sing behind all the contestants.
Okay.
So I mean, what was her name? What was the rapper? I remember I did, I was, that was quite a funny one. Honey G.
Honey, oh yeah.
Honey G.
Wow.
I sang with Alexandra Burke when she won it. I was with Fleur East when she was there. Obviously, that's how I met Gifty.
Of course. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay. Oh, okay, you
Yep,
know,
that's how I
this
met
makes a
Gifty.
lot of sense
So.
because I met a lot of the EXO in Gifty's year. Yeah. I met a lot of like that. "Quote unquote" year group for you and Aston, so that makes a lot of sense now. Okay.
So even with JLS, when you know they came second, I actually knew JLS before they were even called JLS. And when Marvin was in another group back then,
Yeah.
I actually was, I got asked to be in that group with him when one of the other members left.
Interesting. What was it
And
called?
but oh, what they, you know what? I can't even remember the group's name. What was that group called? Oh, I want to say V. Did I say VS?
Oh no.
Yeah, it was VS.
Yeah, it sounds
Yeah,
really familiar.
it was VS. Yeah, VS. They were I was gonna, one of the members left and I was gonna take the position of that, but they wanted me to rap. And I was just like, I want to sing. And at the time, Simon Webb from Blue,
Of course,
he put me in there. So he was like, Royston, you know, we want to put you in the group. How'd you feel about it? And I was just like, yeah, I'm down. But then we went in the studio and I remember just being like, oh, I'm not singing. And they were like, no, we want you to be one of the rappers. And I was just like, oh, I don't know about that. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Wait, so Simon managed VS?
Yeah, Simon Webb managed VS. I believe he put the group together too.
Okay, so Marvin's in the group that Simon's managing, yeah. And then at some point, Marvin leaves the group to join what becomes JLS.
That's right.
That's interesting. JLS comes onto S Factor and you're there as well. This is what I'm saying.
Because I remember when JLS, I could be wrong, but I think they were called UFO before they were called
Think so,
JLS. So we used to, I remember doing a show as, and I was Royston's solo artist.
Right.
So it would be like, they would be on the lineup, I will be on the lineup. So yeah, it, and that's, this is what's crazy about my career, I guess, is because like one day I'm a dancer, one day I'm a singer. It's like I was just doing it all until it made sense. Which again, like I said, it could be a gift and a curse, because obviously part of me is like, had I had focused on one thing, would it have been different? But I also feel like, what's written for me was written for me.
And also, if being honest here, if you, let's say, had broken out as a singer when you wanted to, it's quite unlikely that you still be a big deal now. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because actually when I went to, I think it was when I went to Sony, this is years later, I did it when Priscilla was managing me. We got asked. So at the time, Priscilla was managing myself and another group of dancers, and they were like a boy group. And we did a showcase for Sony. I want to say, was it Columbia? I can't remember. I can't remember what it was. And I did this whole showcase. I had my whole swag, and I honestly thought I was going to get the deal. And they told me that I was too cocky.
She talked to wow.
They said I was too, like, because I remember, they had all, they bring down all the staff in the into the showcase room, and I jumped off the stage and I started singing to the ladies, and I, held her hand. And at the time they were like, yeah, he's too confident, he's too cocky.
So what? All right. So I have a theory here, and I was talking to a friend of mine in the gym yesterday. I was telling him that in the music industry, what tends to happen is, and I mean it's a whole lot necessarily here, is that the people who are the most confident authentically are pushed to a side, so that people who aren't as confident are then pushed to the front, and they kind of turn you into the help, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it was so weird because I thought, how could you say I'm too co like confident? Like, don't you want an artist to be confident? I guess at the time, I was labeled like a UK Usher. That was very, my people used to, oh, you're the UK Usher. You know what I mean? I at the time, the industry maybe wasn't ready for someone like me. Because later down the line you started to see it from your Teo Cruises to your Cassius Heads, your Nathans. Every
True.
time when I saw those artists, I always would be like, how comes I have never getting that chance? Like, what is it about me that's not reading? But then when I really check it, I think because I was just doing so much, and also maybe I really didn't know who I was. As an artist, like I knew that I could sing, I knew that I could dance, and I knew I had my thing about me. But I just don't think at the time I had a team around me that I was being 100% with them also. You know what I mean?
But don't you think as well, though, that your purpose is much bigger than, let's say, a singular career in music? Like, when I think about what you can do, for example, I always think of, let's say, like Grace Jones, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? That they start off doing one thing, but when you think about it, why they're so brilliant, they can do everything, right? And so when you look back at their legacies, you realize that you can't pinpoint or like track it down to one craft. You find there are so many crafts that have been mastered. You know what I'm saying? So with you, for example, maybe there isn't like a one set of voice and single album, but it's more so a collection of really good work.
No, I agree. I mean, to this day, I'm very blessed. I'm very proud of my career. I don't feel like I missed anything. I think everything's a chapter to make me who I am today as an artist and as a man. I still sing, I still choreograph, I still dance, I still perform, and I won't stop anytime. You know what I mean? That's something that I'm super passionate about, is creativity and creating. So I do feel like I do, like I said at the beginning, I call myself a cultural connector. I think that's one of the blessings that I've been given is to connect the dots. And that's why, I'm so proud of R&D Creatives, my agency. I'm able to supply and support emerging and up and coming talent and really look out for them. Because, when I was growing up in the game, I was very fortunate to have people that looked out for us. I realized that not many people do. So I want to be that beacon for people and be like, okay, you know what? Not only am I assisting you getting work, but I'm making sure that you're being treated how you're supposed to be treated.
I mean, speaking of R&D creatives, I know that you placed a performance in Aladdin the movie. Right, and I think you worked on that movie as well, right?
Yeah, I was one of the dancers in that movie. That was a really blessing. So Jamal Sims, the choreographer of Aladdin, I originally was with him when I danced for Warren Stacey. Warren Stacey was on the, was it Pop Stars or something? Pop, one of them shows. And again, funny thing. So Jamal Sims, whoever doesn't know, is an amazing choreographer. He's one of the choreographers that one of the dancers in Usher, in You Make Me Wanna when they take off the trainers.
Oh, that's interesting. You know why? So I just spoke to Billy Woodruff, right? Who actually directed that video.
That video, yeah.
Mad. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Billy's great people too. So yeah, so Jamal Sims, again, I'm this young dancer. Oh my God, we're Jamal Sims and Rizero, like we're dan like we're gonna choreograph work with them. So then working with them, we became great friends. And then Jamal hit me up and was like, yo, Royce, I'm coming to London to do this Aladdin movie with Disney. And basically, I don't really know much about the London scene. So I want you to do it with me. I want you to cast it. I want you to be the casting, like cast all the dancers for me. And yeah, I was in the room. It was amazing. We put the, one of my assistants at the time, Leah, became his assistant on the movie. And now she's just doing amazing things. We found another an amazing talent, Nicky Anderson from Copenhagen. And he's doing amazing things now. So, it was just very, and I remember Jamal was like, yo, also, I want you to, you want to be in it? And I was like, Like, yeah, man, come and dance, man, get your residuals. And I was just like, you know what? Cool. So yeah, that was amazing. That was a really great project to work on, be a part of. And working with Disney is like a second home. I've done so much with them now, from movies to TV shows. Yeah, it was a great project.
So it's interesting. So as far as the residuals, right? So how does that work? So you get paid because you were in the movie, right?
Correct.
Interesting. And so what is that each time? How does it work? So is it that royalties where each time the movie is played, you get paid?
Kind of. It's not. It's basically. It's a little bit more in depth than that. But every time the movie's played or streamed, I guess, or purchased, we get paid.
That's interesting. Okay, so I'm starting to see what you remember. There was the whole, was it the actor strike? I think in Hollywood 2 years ago. So was that them demanding a bigger payout? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that with the strike in general, I think it was just to do with a lot of different things. People wanting more money in general, people wanting more respect. I mean, there was a lot of actors, as you know, and you heard that, like, people think because they're on TV that they're rich, but they're not, And to be honest with you, even with when I did Aladdin, I've worked on other shows that don't get residuals, so it really is all about knowing the game and knowing the business. They call it the entertainment business for a reason. So you want to make sure that you're looked after. And Mal was one of those people. Again, I'm very fortunate to have people like that around me that really look out for the best interest of not only themselves but the people that's working alongside them.
That's amazing. Okay, so you did Aladdin with Disney, and what else did you do then?
I also choreographed a show called The Lodge. It was his first ever TV show. So I choreographed season two. That was really fun. And then also with Disney, I've done a few other TV shows with them. And then also from an agency perspective, we had clients in Little Mermaid, we had clients in Mary Poppins, clients in, oh, there was so, all the, basically a lot of the, because a lot of Disney movies have been shot here of late. Even Wicked, I know it's not Disney, but we, supplied a lot of dancers in that.
So they come to you and they say, we need dancers, right? So how does it work on your end? So you're the agent. How does it work?
Well, they have a casting, obviously they'll have auditions and stuff like that. And then they'll go to who they need to go to. And thankfully, R&D Creatives is on the radar, as a leading agency that represents dancers. Obviously in the UK, it's quite tough because dancers aren't exclusive. So it's very, everyone's non-exclusive, so they can have multiple
Oh, I see.
agents. But it's basically, you want to get the dancers through the door. And then, hey, it's for the dancer to shine. But thankfully, again, I'm very fortunate to have people that trust me. So, if I'm working with a Jamal Sims or a Tanisha Scott or a Jacquel Knight, to name just a few of the people that I do have, I'm blessed to work with, they'll just say to me, "Yo, Royce, I need six girls, or I need six boys, I need 20 this, I need, you know what I mean, whatever it needs to be."
Trust
And I can just pick them, send it to them, and they can tell me yes or no. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, cool.
Okay, sweet. And you mentioned it, that you're also a cultural connector, which I know to be true because, bro, when I would come to your W Hotel events, one, there were great parties, and two, we'd meet the most interesting people. Like some of the characters who'd be at your who'd be at your events, I mean, I'm talking about just everyone. So how did that event begin?
So with the W, it actually began. So I did it with Nikki Beatnik,
Yeah, of course, yeah.
who I've done some music with. So Nikki actually approached me and was like, "Yo, we've got this, this I've got this event space at the W Hotel. They want to throw parties. Do you want to do it with me?" Because privy to that, I was known for having like really extravagant birthday parties, or just again being that guy that's out. You know what I mean? So it was never, I mean, we did it every Wednesday for 2 years. That was never the plan, but it just became that like hub, It was like every Wednesday, you had to be on the guest list. It was free to get in, but it just was that melting pot of entertainers. And even if there was like, I mean, we had everyone through that door. I mean, I remember Outkast coming through and I was like, what? I remember having K Michelle come through. I remember Samuel Jackson came through. I remember Tom Cruise came through. And it was just so random, having like people go, "Oh, where'd you go?" And it's like, "Oh, it's Wednesday. You gotta go to the W." You know what I mean? And yeah, that just was an amazing, amazing time.
Listen, I would come to the event, and anytime someone came to the UK, for example, I went to that party, the first thing I say was, okay, Royston's place. Because I think beyond, it was just like honestly good vibes as well. I think beyond anything else, like beyond any like networking or anything, it was a good vibe, it was kind of intimate, it was kind of quiet, it wasn't crazy. You had to know about it to know about it. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't a thing where you'd go. What I'm saying is there are some places in London where you go to. We feel as though it's very network focused, right? In this instance, it was just people going there to relax.
And I think that's what it was. I think, people knew what the vibe was, why they came back. And I think even to this day, there's certain things people will talk about. And I believe like Wednesdays at W is something that people will talk about forever.
100%.
It will be one of those conversations where like, no, do you remember back in the day that Wednesday at W Hotel? That was the one, and I don't think it can ever be made again, like I don't even think if W called me tomorrow and was like, "Do you want to come back?" It would never be the same.
Why is that?
It's just London's just changed,
How would you, in which way would you say?
It's hard to say. Like, I just feel like London nightlife isn't what it used to be. I think a lot of it's got to do with social media. Everyone's on their phones, most of the London nightclubs now, it's all very section. It's a lot of sections. It's a lot, don't get wrong. I love a little VIP.
Course.
I love to have my place to sit.
Yeah, but Royston, VIP if it's really VIP, yeah. Because I don't like going places where the VIP section is just like a corner roped off. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be labeled VIP. I just like me to have a section. I like me to know that if I want to sit down for a minute and put my drink down somewhere for a minute, I can. And I feel like in London now, it's all of that, especially in like the West End anyway. It's very like, it's all sections, it's all clubs. The VIPs over there, the generals here, the club's not mixing, and dance floors. I felt that's what was good about W, is that even though there was so much seating in there, people were still dancing in. You know what I mean? Which was really fun.
I think through an event maybe in 2021 I came to. I'm trying to think where it was though. I know it was in I think it was in Liverpool Street, Sushi Samba. I think it was.
December, yes, I
Yeah,
did mention.
same thing. Like really, and once again, it's not. So to explain the vibe of these parties, yeah, they weren't parties that you. It was just chill, to be honest. And I say this because everyone trusts you, right? People go in there, and you'd be like, "Yo, are they really here?" But they just relax, if that makes sense.
No, Sushi Samba was cool. I think that was kind of like, us kind of bringing back that W vibe. Same kind of vibe, same kind of like energy. But it was like, it was short-lived.
Hey. All right. Okay. And you also mentioned that. Okay. So you have Misha B recently. Misha B, Steph London. Who else do we have? Oh, who else do we have? Meg Thee Stallion. Yeah, just Meg Thee Stallion. All right. So how did you meet Meg? What's going on there?
Well, I don't work with Meg.
Okay.
I don't work with Meg,
Oh, I
so
see.
that's, yeah, I don't work with Meg. I'm just acquainted by Jacquel Knight, who's the choreographer.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't choreograph for Megan. I'm just, like I said, Jacquel Knight I work with, and he's the creative and choreographer.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. Okay. And so, are you doing anything in the US this year?
I am
Yeah.
be over at Coachella
Nice.
for, so I'm looking forward to that coming up.
Yeah. Nice,
So
nice,
that.
nice. And so with R&D creatives, right? If someone's tuned in and they'd like to figure out, let's say they're a dancer, they're a performer, they need a presentation, right? How should they go about reaching out to you?
So you go to www.rdcreatives.com and have a sign up sheet. You ask a few questions, we ask for a few photos, we look for a reel, etc. And we also ask for two references. So what we liked is for you to give us two people that's either affiliated with us as a company or actually on the agency themselves. So we can vet you. You know what I mean? We want to make sure that you're good people for the right reasons and that you're going to be a good fit for the R&D family.
Amazing. And so, how many years have you been running the company?
15 years now.
Wow.
15 years.
I mean, I've seen, you know, I've forgotten this guy's name. He's in my head somewhere. He's working with Sierra now.
Oh, you're talking about you're talking
His
about
name is in my
oh,
head.
Israel.
Sorry?
Israel.
Sorry?
Israel.
Israel! Israel! Yeah, I met Israel through you, right? He's working with Sierra, right? And so when you see people who you've worked with go on to do different things, I'm sure you're very proud of
100%.
that.
It's like I said, that's one of the blessings of being an agent, is seeing people step into their lane. I've been blessed to work with Israel for many, many years, and obviously now he's took the plunge and he got himself his visa and he moved to America and he's based in LA, which is a lot of like, a lot of dancers kind of, especially in the UK's dream
Right.
or ambition. And I think it's similar to like people that live outside of London. You know,
Okay.
if they up north or they're in Ireland or, they want to move to London because this is where, this is the hub. This is where it all happens, So I feel like once you're in London and then you do the big one, it's kind of like what's next? And America, LA is the next best place for dancers to kind of thrive.
Okay. And so, okay, so you mentioned Coachella you have coming up this year, but what's next for Royston in general?
So I'm about to choreograph a new movie, Ashley Waters' directorial debut.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm recording an EP. So music is on its way.
Yeah.
Also working on my foundation, the R&D Foundation, which is we're raising awareness and giving back to young creatives that want to get into the creative arts. I'm also, I've written a fictional biography of my life into a TV show. It's called The Shifters,
Yeah.
created by myself and my executive Ray Lam, and written by Donna Marie. So at the moment, we are pitching this to TV shows. So if you think of You Got Served
Yeah.
meets, what's that film? I'm literally the show guy, mate. What's the show with Ashley Waters and Kano?
Subway.
Top Boy. There you go. Went out of my head. Think of Top
Oh,
Boy meets You Got Served.
interesting.
In the UK, London based. It's all about a young guy, aspiring dancer to get into the industry.
Okay, and so you're currently taking that to different companies to pitch.
Yeah. So we've got some really good interest, and I can't wait to see it. It's good, like I said, full on dancing. It's gonna be a great one.
Nice. And before I let you go, right, are there any artists who have debuted recently who you think, yeah, they're ones to watch or who you'd like to work
I think there's so much talent out at the moment.
with?
I know they're out already, but I'm a huge fan of Flo.
Yeah, massive, yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Flo. I love what Miss Banks is doing at the moment. Kadeem, an R&B artist called Kadeem, he's doing big things. Also, I can never remember her name. She's on tour at the moment with Kalani.
From the UK.
Is it? Oh, it's gonna bug me.
Let's see.
But yeah, she's dope too.
So quite a few. Okay, sweet. Royston, it's been great having you on. Like I said, you're the first guest of the new season.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Honestly, man, like your story is brilliant, your story is amazing, and just I think more than that, also just being a very good person as well. And I think whenever I mention your name, everyone's like, "Oh, voice is great." So I just hope you realize how great you are and how loved you are.
I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Yeah. All right, bro. I'll leave you to it. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you for having me, bro. Take it easy.
God bless you. All right, see you.